Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 14th of February. Where did I get that? April. Joining us this morning is Mr. Rexbone. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
It is April, not February. Just before anybody drives off the road.
Is it Valentine's Day?
Yeah, look at our beautiful February weather out there.
It was like this in February, remember?
Yeah, it wasn't quite so warm, though.
No,
I kind of fizzled out yesterday. You know, I've got that threshold of about 62.
That's it.
Grew up and probably going to die on the coast. That's it, and that's it. Yeah.
It's not a bad place to be.
No. Are you ready for our question here?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I really miss the quotes of the day. But anyway.
No, I've not heard that one before. Why is fish often called brain food? Obviously, you've not been eating a lot of seafood lately.
I have not.
Oh, that's funny.
What do they call a ribeye?
Oh, two 19th century German chemists, Jacob Molschott and Ludwig Bunker, believe they had determined phosphorus to be the primary chemical element required for all mental activity. In fact, they proclaimed, no phosphorus, no thought. Since it had already been established that fish are very rich in phosphorus, a naturalist named Louis Agassiz put the two ideas together and concluded that eating fish is good for the brain. It has since been determined that phosphorus is no more essential to mental activity than a number of other elements. I'm sure the fishermen are going to go,
So Buckner's turning in his grave
right now.
Yeah. Damn, I've been found out.
Oh, my. Fun stuff. So I guess what the we've got an overabundance now of vaccines.
Yeah, and it's funny. I made that quote at the beginning of February. By the end of April, there'd be so many. And I saw it seems like J&J's all over, you know, because we've had six women that have had clots, which is dangerous. They got to figure out. But I mean,
yeah, out of 7 million, I think.
But you have to remember, we've put out, I think, 95 million Pfizer vaccines in the U.S., 85 million Moderna, and 7 million Johnson & Johnson. So, and then last week, I think we got 11,500 vaccines somewhere in that thing.
Yeah, it was like
and
a
only
huge.
600 were Johnson & Johnson. Now, you have to figure that 11,000, I always think our numbers, they're not skewed, but we don't, that 11,000... That doesn't include Rite Aid, Costco, CVS. I mean, I went to CVS.
Yeah, it's not inclusive.
CVS. I mean, the one in town here. I mean, it was seamless. I talked to somebody who went to Walgreens. It was seamless. I do know somebody that went to, from Fortuna to Arcata. They took their kids, and they were 16 and 17. And they one of the vaccines you can't have till you're 18. And they were scheduled for the 16, so there was a paper glitch there. But besides that, they are big. Southern Humboldt Health yesterday put an all call out. Come on down. You know, I think they had the same thing in Arcata, and I think it's pretty easy to, if you want to get it, you can get it, and now's the time, I would suggest. But I think there's going to be a steady flow now. So, I mean, that's a good point. I think I was hoping we'd be going to yellow a little bit sooner.
It was nice, refreshing, nice to read the reset and hear about that a week or so ago.
Well, I'm glad to see I'm glad to see the kids playing ball.
Yeah, it feels
I've watched football every weekend for the last 5 weekends, sitting in the back of my pickup at St. Bernard's or at Ferndale, or actually almost every weekend at Fortuna because Eureka played there, St. Bernard's played there, and stuff like that, but. And just since we're talking about kids, I just went by Lafayette here, and they had it all dressed out in purple and everything else. But they were on their signboard out front said, "We're military kids," and they were honoring the kids because there's such a large Coast Guard housing. But they were recognizing military families and military kids today, and I wanted to give a shout out to them. That I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. These signs of normal are kind of fun. If yellow, does that mean normal?
No.
I didn't think
so.
At what point is it going to go normal? I know what the governor is saying after the recall termination. Gee, what coincidence. Yeah. But do you, what is anybody saying?
You know, well, I don't know. Yes, yesterday I see that Fresno voted 4-1 to get out of their emergency order, which doesn't change much. It doesn't change much in the scope of things because we're still under a state order. So I don't know if it changes much. I've heard it changes funding and what money we get and everything else. But it's,
yeah, it doesn't restrict.
It does. It is time to probably start opening up a little bit more and getting back into the reality of life.
One of the things that I'm thinking about is everybody is discussing how this is going to be such a robust tourist season. And we're going to get a lot of visitors.
It's going to be off the charts.
Okay. So we've got folks from all these various areas coming here that may or may not do and act the way that
I hope they come from Texas, because Texas has been wide open and their numbers are down.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. That could change, too.
You hear about that stuff. I mean, I just – last summer I know there were some issues. Now let's multiply that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really, we have to be chasing people because they're not wearing masks, or because somebody is getting fired up because somebody's acting, or, you know, maybe it's 5 feet or 4 feet, or, you know, maybe they're in education and it's 3 feet.
Yeah.
Or they're in airlines and it's 6 inches. You know, I mean, these different standards.
Yeah. Well, the standards aren't standard. I think that's probably the biggest problem. The standards aren't standard. We change. I mean, we tell people that we're going to be in red for another 3 to 4 weeks, and then the next week we go orange. And that's really tough on people for, like, the bowling alleys going to 20, but they still got to pull their people back in. And it's still hard to get people. There was a big special, Las Vegas opening back up, and they've got they're having their first convention on middle of June, I think, and it's the World of Concrete, which you're thinking, World of Concrete. They get 60 to 80,000 people show up to the World of Concrete. So that's a pretty fair convention, but they're having trouble putting people in the kitchens, at the tables,
yeah, getting staffed up.
Yeah. And you got to understand, you know, so a lot of people are still taking the federal money and the unemployment, and can't fault them at all. But we're going to have to eventually go back to work, because otherwise our grandkids are going to be paying our debt. Well, they're going to be paying our debt anyway, but it's going to be a lot worse than we think. So,
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone, Humboldt County Supervisor. So as we're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, Rex, certainly housing is one of those. Are you hearing from your buds, because I would presume that you're probably in that chain, about new homes, new developments? How are we going to get there? The cost of this? Infrastructure, all those types of things. I would think that because Cutton is in your district, you're going to get a ton of pressure about housing costs. And then you kind of get caught into that whirlwind. And it's not like you can really do anything about it. But everybody wants to talk to their buddy who might have a bigger stick, so to speak, that might be able to get something done. Are you feeling those pressures from the community about housing, and let's make it easy, let's make it affordable,
we have this discussion, John, we had this discussion at the board the other day. I have this discussion with John. John Ford said the other day that he is trying to get to a point, and I hope it works, for when somebody does a subdivision, you know, especially a larger subdivision, all the houses, all the terrain, everything is pretty much the same. Traffic patterns, because they're building it up, everything's about the same. you don't need to. You can probably do an over after you've done the first two. You can do an over the counter permit for the next houses because, I mean, there's
nothing
five
changes.
Houses. There's five footprints being made, and it's every thing like that. But trying to alleviate some of that because I'll tell you right now, everybody, you know, it's affordable housing for one, and you know, and that's out the window now. I don't know how we can build the affordable house now when you have to put a you put a sprinkler system in, you put a solar system in. However much it costs to hook up to utilities, which is extreme, and you do all that, you've got $200,000 into the property and the paperwork before you ever pound a nail. And the other thing that scares me is except for a couple young guys, and there's only one really actively doing, there's none of the guys building subdivisions anymore because it's not penciling out right now. Even with this market. And I read a huge story about, real estate folks, but about are we in a housing bubble right now? Because, I mean, housing is, every house is going for over asking.
I think probably nationally that could be the case.
You know.
But I think we are unique because of the weather, because of the lack of density.
Well, the other thing
is the physicalness of our area. Well, I don't think that, and with the financing, I don't see any of those as variables or changing. I mean, that's why we're all here.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so that's it. Now, if we were in Sacramento, okay, now we're talking a whole different
We're going to get more people because, I mean, you know, the big boys, you know, the Google, the Facebook, all those guys are talking about not bringing back 30 or 40% of their people and letting them work from home. Now, this isn't going to affect office space quite as much as you'd think. Because they're just going to spread. They're not going to be in tight cubicles. They're going to spread the cubicles out for safety reasons and things like that. But keep that in mind. They're going to spread the cubicles out so everybody's not on top of each other. So there's a big push by a lot of people, and I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent, and that they've been working really hard to do infill. You know, build on top of where you work, you know, and all that. We're finding out a lot of people are coming up here that now that we have a redundant broadband line, we're doing all this, they can work from up here, and they feel comfortable coming up here, and they can work online and then have this beauty. And up until a year ago, actually buy a house at a pretty good price, right. You know. But with that being said, a lot of people don't want to. I mean, I heard vacancy rates in San Francisco are climbing and the price is dropping because people don't feel comfortable walking down a crowded sidewalk. They don't feel comfortable living in a multi-story building.
Living in San Francisco.
Or San Francisco. Yeah, but a lot of that changes a lot of that. So people want to have some separation where they live because like the pandemic, the variants, and the idea you could live up here in a place like this.
Or just being here, yeah.
You know?
So I'm really curious to find out, okay, so we've got momentum in this way. Culturally, what happens?
Yeah.
Do we swing more left? Do we swing more right? Do we have more arts? Do we have more... there will be change because we're not getting more of the same people. We're getting more people.
We're getting more.
Something's going to happen.
We're getting more variables. And a lot of times people come up here and they don't want Humboldt to turn into where they came from. So they don't want, you know.
Yeah,
they don't want.
Close the gate behind them kind of thing.
And I understand that. I mean, I fully can understand that. But with that being said, even with the influx of people, I think we lost 800 people on our count last year, you know, the annual count. But I'm really waiting to see what the census brings out to see where we come. Because we were one of the few counties in the state that lost people.
Well, you got to have jobs.
You know. So,
typically.
Yeah.
Other than this.
Yeah.
So we may have. And that's, I guess, kind of the hope that a lot of us have about the North Spit. You know, we got the fish, we got the fiber optic line, and the ripples off of that. You know, we might actually have an employment base here rather than government, tourist, and retirement slash medical.
And so there are. I mean, there are some, you know, and talking with Connie Stewart, you know, that fiber optic line, are we all going to be able to plug into it? No. But, I mean, I know Humboldt State's going to get connected, and they're going to do some good stuff for the county, not just for Humboldt, but they're thinking so large outside their footprint of Arcata or the campus. Dr. Jackson has so many ideas about how to expand, and you know the Cal Poly, You know, that, yeah, that, something like that those would be... those things help. You know, thinking outside the box and he's doing
or thinking
such a good
normal
job.
Instead of thinking isolated.
Exactly.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, Baywood Golf and Country Club, Humboldt Bay Bistro, and Randall Sand and Gravel. Rex, considering some of the different challenges that we do have, I mean, we've talked about it for the last
couple of years. Is it nice having restaurants advertise again?
It's nice having restaurants open and being able to sit down and
just
talk.
Sorry about that, but it's
another sign of normal.
Yeah.
You know, we just hope that they all come back.
Yes.
Housing is one of those things that a lot of us have identified as part of the infrastructure. It was never really identified as part of our infrastructure maybe 5 years ago. Is there an emphasis going on by the regulatory community, by the development community, and as well as the general citizenry, to get maybe not less costly, but more? I mean, homes being on the market for 4 days, that's goofy. I mean, even in the highest growth areas, 4 days? That just doesn't make sense. And yet, as you indicated, we don't have a lot of builders building here. They're down in Sonoma County. They're down in Napa County. They're down south where they're getting higher return for their hours.
They were all been in Sonoma the last 4 years since the fire. It's amazing when you go down there, you got 30 contractors lined up building 30 homes where homes used to be.
Right. And a lot of that I know is because of the development fees being waived. You know, if you're in the zone, game on, and you're an essential because you're inside the zone. They're saving $25,000 a pop because they don't have the development fees or the hookup fees. All that stuff is waived out. Well, if those are the things that are driving the prices up here, why can't the county waive some of those things at this point?
Well, and
to get the houses so that these folks are able to get into entry level, or we can have enough housing stock for the folks moving here, and we make it up in the sales tax and the property tax and the gas tax and all the other hidden taxes that are out there.
Well, Brian, it's like making an investment. I mean, you have to understand, especially in this market today, we sell a house now for $450,000, $500,000, a new house, $350,000, whatever it may be. You can do the math and tell you what your property tax is going to be. And so we're going to get that investment. We're going to get the sales tax. We're going to get all that. So what do we do to make sure they can get there? Because we spend a lot of money on housing for, our homeless, our housing challenged and things like that.
Where did that phrase come from?
I don't know. I like it, though.
Okay.
It reminds me that when I bought my first house, I was 19, and they told me that I didn't qualify. So I'm thinking, geez, I didn't qualify because I didn't have enough money. So I went and got a part-time job at Gary Albee's C&B Market for four nights a week for $2 an hour. And I made, all of a sudden I could qualify. So, hey, boom. But, no, as we move forward, we make the investment in these people because we're going to get that long-term money. We're going to get their sales tax. We're going to get that. And so I'm trying to figure out if there's, I would love to see if there's a way somebody could build, it's not real popular. Well, it's popular with some, unpopular with others. There's a McKay Ranch subdivision of 270 homes. And people are they're really scared about traffic, which they should be. And we're looking at traffic all the time. But spend a day in Santa Rosa and you'll see traffic. But what they have to understand – That's going to take, those 270 homes are going to take 40 to 50 years to build, I would imagine. Because, I mean, Lumbar Hills, they just got through with the last little part of it, what, 10 years ago. And that was 50 years later. And that's, I mean, and once they find another ingress, egress, I think there's some more lots available up there. So once we get that, so once we go through the property and come out of Walnut or however it works out, there's still a few more lots available there at the end. But that's a very popular place to live. People love to live there. We do have the problem with one ingress. You know, I've been stuck on both sides with trees down, but
okay,
it happened.
But that's an addressable issue.
It's an addressable issue.
You can get,
so
you can get through some of that stuff.
So to do some of this stuff, I mean, we've got to. I don't want to say never relax the environmental end of it, but relax the part that says, do we really need that? Does that matter? I mean, I drove by some homes the other day that a contractor built 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and they were 40-foot wide lots, and they were like a pie shape, and they sold for $32,000. That was affordable housing for us at those times. And they're still selling those houses now, sell for $229,000, $239,000, $249,000. So I don't know what we do, but we're going to have to think a little outside the box to get people into housing, especially the people, because the biggest thing we have found, St. Joe's found out, and the professionals, is to find high-end housing. And I know, and what high-end housing will bring those people in, but other housing, when people could, you know, you buy a house when you're 20, then you buy a house when you're 35, and you keep going up the scale, which opens your house up to somebody else that wants to enter the housing market. And hopefully,
but there's got
to
be enough supply to make all that
happen. There has to be a supply, and that is an issue right now. I mean, I heard the number last week, 121 houses on the market when we used to average 300.
You weren't listening to Mattioli on Wednesday, were you?
No.
Because he had the same number.
Huh?
Typically, historically, it's 500. Now it's 120.
Yeah. They
it's goofy.
The Association of Realtors is really good with that sending those numbers out so people are aware. That's a great organization.
And you're able to read them now. That's good.
Yeah. Or I have somebody read them for me.
KINS News and Information Time.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. So, Rex, the housing thing, let's call it unsettled. I mean, there's certainly lots of pressures there. But as we are having some of these other projects and Humboldt, I mean, if they go to a poly, okay, now we're going to have more staffing. We're going to have more kids. It's going to be another economic boost to the area.
Yeah.
Are you getting pushback from the anti-crowd about some of these projects, or are these kind of all seen as being clean and acceptable?
I think you can see pushback on anything. I mean, it's got to the point.
Well, that's our personality.
But with that being said, I think the value of, just little things. I mean, Humboldt State looking at becoming a poly, and then what Dr. Flamer, I mean, the way that Dr. Flamer and Dr. Jackson are working together. I mean, we have 134,000 people in Humboldt County, and we have two institutions of learning that are state recognized, nationally recognized.
I think the high schools might also think that they could be included.
You know, but there's a collaboration.
Yeah, they're talking.
Well, and you take a look what Dr. Merriweather has done with. I think if anybody wants to go to Humboldt State, they can get $2,000 a year for 4 years, that's being funded. I mean, they're trying to get the local kids to stay local, and they're trying to do. And then the kids will stay here because I know we lose a lot of kids, but a lot of our kids stay too. But I just think the idea that what they can offer, and I think they are pretty fluid. I know that
CRs those are flexible and they're integrating into the needs.
CR's working on a program to help some of the people for the fish farm.
Right.
And I know that years ago when they're, you know, not the last windmill project, but the windmill project before that, that Shell brought forward, they were going to have a program. And now I'm sure that the new Shell project, or whoever's project offshore, is going to have, you know, and that they're going to be able to train the limited amount of employees to help with that. So we've got that VOTEC part of it, the trades. And the Humboldt County Office of Education is pushing trades. It's putting kids out in the jobs that are available, you know.
Right, and that's
the, and making the trades sound exciting.
That's part of as an attraction, but you still got to be able to have that employment set here rather than elsewhere. And I guess that gets back to the housing and all, the trades all being associated with that is it has to we got to be able to do it.
Well,
and that's, I guess, the bottom line.
It's just, it's the other day, a few days ago, one of the larger trucking firms hauling resources. Logging truck.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, they just gave everybody a substantial raise, almost 20%, which means everybody had to follow suit. Well, you now have guys out there making a better than average living. On a very tough job, but if you like to be out and about in the country all day long and things like that, out doing that job. I still have my license. That's the best job I ever had was driving truck. I loved the windshield time because you could solve all the world's problems.
Right, yeah.
And you could talk to yourself out loud and nobody was there to.
Right, yeah. But you did get in trouble.
But I mean, the big push that the Office of Education, both on building trades, all the trades, and you take a look at all the businesses involved, they're enveloping it. We've had fundraisers for that program, and people are realizing we still need the trades.
Yeah, and you're right. Once it becomes sexy and acceptable,
because you look around,
to mom and dad to have the kids do that, all of a sudden it's kind of fun.
You look around at the guys that we've had, the big developers we have here in Humboldt County, but you take a look at the guys that have built houses. And there's nobody taking their place.
Yes.
And the scary part is, as we do that, who's going to build the houses? Because single family homes are great, but you're going to have a few subdivisions in there.
We got to scale it to make it pencil out.
If you want to get the housing. And some of the guys are getting a little bit older, and they're hitting the point where they want to kick back. And some of them don't necessarily have, you know, kids that are taking that position up. So there you go. So we have to make that look a little more popular. But the other thing is we have to make it look so that young guy that doesn't have the capital
can still do it.
And that's the problem. Some of these guys have the capital where they confront themselves for a couple of years. Because it's a couple of years from start to finish or a year start to finish. And that's the process.
It's almost going to be more recognition through the planning department to fast track this stuff.
Yes,
if it doesn't have any kind of agriculture associated with it.
Yeah, and I don't think fast track as much as efficient. And John Ford,
the result is the same.
Yeah, exactly. And John Ford is really working hard at that and trying to parlay that into the mindset of the department. It hasn't always been the mindset of the department.
No. When you got power games going on.
You know, I mean, just because we're the only ones that sell the widget, we don't have to act like we're the only ones that sell the widget.
Exactly. So. Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet.
Stay away from sunburn. See everybody tomorrow.